When I was a kid, one time we were over at my grandparents' house and we were playing Monopoly, and it was me, my brother, my grandma, and my sister. And I just had one of those games where I was just dominating the entire game. I just bought the right properties, I built the right houses at the right time, I kept landing on all the good space, and I was just making bank off of everyone. And slowly but surely, you know, I knocked out my brother out of the game, then I knocked out my grandma, and my sister was the last one left. And I landed on one of her spots, and I had to pay her like a measly $300, because at this point I was like super rich in the game. And then she landed on one of my spaces and had paid me $2,000, and she lost the game. And I just remember just being like very excited. You know, you have everything you could possibly want in this Monopoly game, basically. And this is kind of what the rich man probably felt like whenever he was living his own life. He's living this huge life of luxury. He's got everything he could possibly want, and like he's enjoying the good things of this world. But just like with my Monopoly game, I almost felt selfish knocking all these other people out of the game and bankrupting them all and forcing them out of the game. But he doesn't quite feel that same pang of the conscience. He almost delights in having all this luxury. He's got someone who reminds him every single day that he needs to be sharing of his wealth right outside his doorstep, just 1 foot outside his door, but his generosity can't even go that far. He keeps it all to himself. St. Ambrose, whenever he's discussing this parable in his own writings, he says that luxury disgraces riches. He doesn't say you can't have nice things. He doesn't say that nice things disgrace riches, nice meals disgrace riches, but it's the keeping everything to yourself that disgraces riches. So if I make that distinction between luxury and just kind of having these nice things, I would say there's a certain selfishness that starts creeping in there to where you refuse to share anything else with anyone else. And so you just keep everything to yourself because you have to protect your comfort, protect your desires, protect what you want in life, and you have to satisfy every single little want you could possibly have. St. Teresa of Avila, whenever she was alive, she said that the flesh always craves more. That's just an abominable miss that you can't possibly completely fulfill, and that you just keep dumping more and more stuff in there. You eat food and you want more food. You drink and you want more drink. Your body is comfortable and you want more comfort somehow, some way. Your body's just always demanding more and more and more, and you just can never fulfill it completely, because that fulfillment that we want is in the next life. And so the rich man finds himself in hell, to where he just wants just a drop of water on his tongue to cool his thirst, because the pain is just so bad. Being deprived of our Lord is just so bad, because that's clearly not what we are made for. But once again, it's not just having nice things that gets us to hell. It's that unwillingness to share, because even our Lord received nice things in his own life. Whenever he had dinner with the Pharisees, if I'd take a guess with the Pharisees' status in that society, some of these meals were probably pretty bougie meals. They're probably pretty nice meals, if I take a guess. Whenever he had his feet washed by Mary, it says that was very costly perfume. And Judas says, why wasn't that sold to pay all these poor people? That'd be 300 days' wages. Why wasn't that sold? And so he's like jealous. And so it's very, very nice perfume. But our Lord says, she will never have me. You guys will not have me always. And so he desires that to happen. Whenever he goes to wedding banquet, he, in a sense, brought his own wine and made the wine very, very nice. And so he had very nice wine at this wedding that I'm sure he partook of himself. He received a scarlet robe, which was also very pricey back in the day. But at this point in his life, he received it right before he was going to be crucified. I think as a show to us, to show us how we really should be using our riches, that we may receive these nice things, but we're ultimately supposed to give them to another. Our Lord is given the scarlet robe to be mocked as a king, but our Lord offers his humility back to us, offering his own life for us so that we can achieve eternal salvation, so that we can be with him for all eternity in that kingdom that he promises each and every one of us. And so she shows us how to give of our time, talent, and treasure. And many of us here in this parish are very, very generous with our time, talent, and treasure to the parish or to other charitable resources that we have in our lives, our family, our friends, and everything else. But some of us could obviously do better. Some of us have kind of had the selfishness kind of harden our heart a little bit to where we just kind of want those comforts and we want to keep them for ourselves. And we say that the limits of giving can only go so far, and we almost limit that giving. We're not willing to give it all sometimes. I know in my own life, as many people do in the U.S., you just get so busy, busy, busy all the time that I guard my free time. What little free time I have, I guard it so, so closely, and my heart gets really, really hardened regarding my free time. And if someone asks me to do something whenever I had free time, or if I have to go do something, and it's my free time, like, man, it just, like, kills me. And you can tell that I'm frustrated, I'm annoyed, and I get really impatient with people in those moments because all I wanted was just a little bit of free time to myself. Just a little break from everything, from everyone, and just like, I just wanted a little time to myself, and I didn't get that. And I get really uncharitable, unfortunately. And that's something I have to work on. That's something I need to be better at. It's a huge defect in my personality, especially as a priest, whenever our time isn't supposed to be ourselves, that I need to be more giving of my time. And everyone wants kind of a warning of like, how bad can it be, I guess you could say, of, I feel like our Lord might be calling me to this. Maybe I need to give more financially to the church. Maybe I need to give more of my time or talent to the church or other charitable places or my family or my friends or maybe that person who just really annoys me at work, whatever the case may be. But sometimes we're not willing to give that thing until we receive this like confirmation from heaven that comes down and says, this is for sure what you're supposed to do right here because someone came from the dead and showed up to you and said, do this, and this is God's will for you. And sometimes that does happen. St. Paul was knocked off his horse and blinded, and he had to be taken to an apostle in order to see the fullness of the truth and was able to follow Jesus Christ after that. But for most of us, that's obviously not going to happen. For most of us, it's just going to be these small little whisperings that we hear in our hearts and our souls, and that we're going to have to slowly but surely say, yes, this actually is God's will for me. And have that trust in our Lord to take that bound, to be more giving, to be more selfless with our time, talent, and treasure. Because not all of us are going to get that crazy miracle. And so the rich man says to Father Abraham, send Lazarus down, send him to my brothers, that if someone comes from the dead, they will surely believe him. And Jesus says, no, that's not going to happen in the parable. But in real life, in a sense, our Lord says yes to that request because our Lord's overabundant generosity flows out of himself and he decides to die for us. He raises himself from the dead 3 days later. He walks with the apostles for 40 more days to prove the fact that he has risen, to prove the fact that he is God, to prove the fact that everything he said is true and comes from God himself. And so we don't need to doubt what we need to be doing in the world. We don't need to doubt his teaching because we know that he truly is the fullness of the truth, the way, the truth, and the life that he lays down for each and every one of us. And so we don't need to doubt these things that our Lord tells us because we have the fulfillment of the resurrection pointing to the fact that no one else could do this besides God. And so we can have that confidence. We can have that trust in our Lord and say, yes, I want to follow this man who raised himself from the dead. And to us here at St. Anne's, we are very blessed to have an opportunity to kind of pour ourselves out more and more on our neighbors and our friends, and especially those in the area who maybe not have as much as some of us do, because we have Mocktoberfest coming up in less than a month. And as everyone here hopefully knows and has hopefully been to Mocktoberfest in the past, it's a great, wonderful opportunity in which it's the biggest fundraiser we have for the Ministry of Compassion, and they desperately need funds so that we can continue to give to the poor and those who are less fortunate than many of us. We need hundreds of volunteers for this kind of thing. We need lots of people to donate their time, money, and energy, and we need people ultimately to show up. not just to have fun, to enjoy the community, to enjoy a good beer, but so that you can buy the overpriced brats and buy the overpriced shirts and buy the overpriced beer and everything else, so that those funds can go to the Ministry of Compassion. I periodically go over there, and whenever I talk with the ladies who volunteer there, they sign checks for people periodically, whether it be the electric bill, the water bill, whatever the case may be, so they periodically sign checks. But naturally, there's only so much money allotted to that per month, and sometimes they'll go through that allotment within the first 5 days of the month, because as everyone knows, the beginning of the month can be kind of difficult, and so they go through it really fast sometimes. And so if we're very generous at Oktoberfest, their biggest fundraiser of the year, then maybe they can increase that allotment, especially as bills get higher, as things become more expensive. They kind of need the funds to continue to be more charitable, to meet the needs that continually come to this area. And so I really ask you to really discern and ask yourselves, can I give more of myself to this community? Can I give more of myself to Broken Arrow, my time, talent, treasure, to the parish, or to Oktoberfest, to my neighbor? How's the Lord calling me to pour myself out more? Because we desperately need people for this event, for it to go off without a hitch, and to be a great event in which we can truly see Jesus Christ in our poor neighbors. So I ask you to really discern, how's our Lord calling me to serve? How am I called to pour myself out in love for one another? Because it is through that selfless generosity that we truly learn to become more like Jesus Christ, to give of ourselves and to not count the cost.